Good morning. My hearing aid battery just died. I don't have an extra one. And when you're hard of hearing, you speak loud enough to hear yourself. So if I'm yelling, let me know one way or the other, because I need to hear myself. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Last week, I started talking about elders. I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to take my time doing some of this. I'm in no hurry. Biggest event in my life is going to be with the Lord. Meanwhile, in between, when I speak, I just might take my time about a few things. While I was in Columbia, I'm always talking about Columbia. Well, when I was in Columbia, we had a 1972, we had a team. I've talked about that before, too. A summer team and a two-year team. These kids were all from churches like ours, from assemblies. They had gone to literature crusades. And this literature crusade was going to send these kids on different teams so they could see what the mission field is like, as well as help the missionary. And it was a big help to the missionary. There were some kids who were there for the summer. There were some kids who were there for 2 years. And being young people and having a lot of young men, of course, I was in a talkative mood. I was the old guy, by the way, 28 years old. And they called me Mr. Duckland, 20 years old. But I started talking with these kids. They'd be out during the day, knocking on doors, witnessing, doing things. And a number of them brought the subject up about what they should do in the future. Some of them had already decided that while they're enjoying being in a foreign country on a team, they weren't called to be missionaries. And of course, I can't debate that. That's not between me and them, between them and the Lord. So in our conversation, a number of them said, and I don't even think I could be a full-time worker. I've heard these men come through, and I don't know what I can do. Some of these kids were in college. Some were just out of Bible school. So they've been doing a lot of thinking. I remember one time we're sitting in our backyard, a camp, a fire, and we just had a potluck of some kind, and the subject came up again. I said, let me ask you a question. Now, I think this is an important question. When the Apostle Paul went out, what was his goal? Well, take the gospel out, right? Take it as far as he could. Said, have you noticed that he goes back and visits these churches? It says in Acts 14 that on the second trip he said, let's go back and see how these churches are doing. Now, I want you to think this way today. Is that God's purpose is to take the gospel into the world and leave behind churches in communities. The light shining there, whether there's a big group of people or small, the purpose is to plant through this dispensation, this age, groups of people who know how to work in unity, work together, who know how to use their gifts, and to be a light in the world. I said to these people, the local church is the most important thing that's going to be the outcome of our evangelism. When we leave Malaga and we leave Bucaramanga, we don't want to leave behind an institute of some sort. we want to leave behind a group of people who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have been brought together in that locality to serve the Lord and worship the Lord and to carry on the light. And so he went out to plant churches. Missionaries go home. The biggest joy I get is knowing that a couple places are staying by the stuff, if I can say it that way. They may not be huge, but they definitely have an effect in the darkness of that community. So, where is this going? I said to these young guys, look, the church is going to face persecution. And it has, and it will. There will always be problems in the church. Division. Read 1 Corinthians. It's really juicy. You get into 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and you just live the dissension and the division that we're going through. There are false teachers who come in. 1 Peter, Jude, and others who come in. They look like they're real, but they're not. For some reason, they're sowing evil doctrine or dissension. And the local church will always need leaders. Now, I mentioned before, where do the leaders come from? The Bible school in Barranca or Bible school in the state. The leaders come from within that group, that local church. This is the light of the world that continues through the church age. And so I said to these young men, have you ever thought that perhaps the most important work that God can give to you is to be a leader in the local church? Oh, no, Mr. Douglas, that's like being a missionary. But we go home. See, we go home. And so, being a leader, an elder, an overseer, a shepherd in a local church is probably one of the most important things that God has in Scriptures. And I remember saying to this young guy, when you get home, think about it. Spend some time looking at your church, at your elders. Think about it. Maybe you're aware of your growing up that there was some problems. You don't know what they were, but you can always tell there's a little waves and when the elders are whispering to each other and people are saying, something going on. And it's important for you to think about this. 1 Timothy 3:1. I may not get any farther than that, by the way. It says, this is a faithful saying. Now, that's mentioned in Chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. What does that mean, faithful saying? You can bank on this. It is a trustworthy saying. It is never wrong. It is true. It is right. And if you want to know anything not true, it's that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for sinners. And then I love the way he finishes verse. Good for Paul, of whom I am chief. Hey, we think Paul was kind of a goody two-shoes. See, Paul looked at himself and all the things he discovered in himself and he had done, not just because he murdered people. All in all, he knew he was a sinner and he was not worthy to be saved. Now in chapter 3, verse 1, this is a faithful saying. It's the same thing. You can rely on this. You can count on it. You can be sure of it. I'm telling you, this is something that is always true and will never change. All right? If a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, an elder, he desires a good work. If a man desires it. Now, let's take a look at this because I think it's important. Churches need to hold the truth. They need to live the truth. They need to be in unity with one another. So we'll take a look at this. If a man desires. Now, the King James and the New King James use the word desire twice in verse 1. This is the faithful saying, if the man desires the position of a bishop or overseer, he desires a good work. But in the original language, there are two different words. And they give two different aspects of this. And it's important to understand this. In Hebrews 11, 16, I'll just read that. he's talking about these pilgrims. They died in faith, having not even received the promises. And they're waiting for a country. Yeah. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly home. Now that word desire there is the same in English, but it's the same in the original language. The first desire and that desire means they are grasping after, reaching out. It is something they want. It is something they want to grab hold of. And at that stage in their life, they were reaching out for that heavenly kingdom. I'm finding in my life, I'm doing that more and more. My next birthday will be 79. Who knows, I could be around here for a long time. But the next big thing is going home to be with the Lord. And I know that. And I think about this. So, it says, if a man desires. Now, so the word desire, you may have it in your scriptures, if a man reaches, some of the paraphrases, if a man reaches out after it, if a man sets his heart on it, this isn't a bad thing. It can be. But I told these guys, you go home and you love your assembly and you want to be part of it when you graduate from college. You want to do something. You want God to use you in a way that is better than Dick and me? Or is it I? Anyway, then us? Have a desire to be an elder. Set your heart on it. Now, there are things you have to do, of course. But I want to talk this morning about setting your heart on it. Looking after it and thinking, I would like to be involved with people. I care for these people. I don't know many, but I hear once in a while something and somebody's discouraged and they're down and they're going through something. And the local church needs encouragement. They need good teaching. They need leaders who can keep them from division. Because division is wrecking us, whether you want to admit it or not. Not necessarily here, but it's wrecking us. It's hurting us a lot. All right, so he sets his heart on it. Now, this can be also give the idea that he might be setting his heart on this selfish ambition. But you can tell after a while. You can learn. You can know. First thing is that the Holy Spirit lays this in a man's heart. I was talking to these guys about it a lot, and they were talking to me about it. Possible you can do this. So somebody sets his heart on it. And when you set your heart on something, you're an athlete, and somebody says, you know, you're really good, but you need to be better. And you start reaching out for this. Young man, maybe you can start reaching out. Not that you'll be an elder. No promises. There have been places I've been where people don't like to say that, well, don't give them hope if they're not ready. Give them encouragement to try. God will take care of whether they're ready or not. And you'll know. But even if they're not ready, it doesn't mean they're bad. So if a man desires, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires this, reaches out after it, and the Holy Spirit is working. Remember in Acts chapter 20, 28, when Paul stopped at Ephesus, he stopped and he said, among your elders, among whom the Holy Spirit made you. It's the Holy Spirit's work, not man's work. It's his work. All right. Now, this word also means it is something that can't be held in. It's not a secret desire in your heart. Nobody knows. This is something that works its way out. It's seen. Let me imagine a couple things here. When Ray Giannini first came here, I wasn't the only one, by the way, who took him with me and did things with him. But when I took Ray Giannini, this guy was on fire. I got to know God's word. I want to teach it. I want to know it. I want to share it. He was on fire, even thinking maybe I should go to Bible school or seminary. On fire. It was something he couldn't bury. Well, what it does is it helps you to deal with them. Here's something you want to know if you want to be a Bible teacher. Say, but Ray was on fire early on. Brother Dan, he'll be embarrassed, I know. And Luan came from Albania, and Dan started taking Luan places. And Dan started picking up a little Albanian. Maybe, still have a little life. Maybe I can be a missionary in Albania. And we said, go, take a peek. That's what the elders, go take a peek. See. And this is the idea here. So it's just not something that can be held in. It is something that you do and people can see it. Doesn't necessarily mean you're doing things right, but they can see it. So it's important. It's a personal desire. Sometimes a person has to find out exactly what it can be. But elders can be aware of this. And as elders are aware of it, I mean, if you're holding something in, people don't know you're interested in doing things at the assembly, you really can't be helped. All right. All right. Now, so if a man desires this position, now, there are, as I said, no doubt that there are some whose desire is for self. How can you tell if that's what it is? How can you tell if that person desires for selfishness? You know what? It's not hard. It isn't hard. I'll tell you what you can do. First of all, here's how you think about it. You go to Galatians 5:22-23. That was a telephone number we used to call when I was in Bible school. When you got a little huffy or out of whack, somebody say, you better call GA52223, get on the phone and call that fruit of the Spirit. Never forgot that. And you look at the fruit of the Spirit and you see what it says. Then you look at an ambitious person and all you do is ask the simple question. Are they demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit? Not so hard. What are they demonstrating? What are they demonstrating? So, here's the thing. Those who aspire for self. Here's some things. They're usually filled with criticism. They're critics. Know-it-all. Filled with criticism. About this message, that message, this person, that person. Usually, no matter what, sooner or later, they start criticizing, judging, and many times the present elders. Huh? That's not of the Holy Spirit. And they're unhappy often with the elders' decisions. We read years and years ago, we elders wrote very carefully, after a lot of study, a marriage policy, divorce, remarriage, and what the Bible said. It was hard. We took a lot of time. Was handed out, it was read. Don't ask for it now. Anyway, it was handed out, it was read. I knew where some had. Oh, I couldn't go for that. Well, I know you couldn't go for that. But this is what we have studied and believe the scriptures say. And there was little bit jabs here and there. Didn't last long. But there are little things along the way. These people also have a way of gathering people around them. They have their friends. But when you start listening, you realize it's more than friendship. They all have starting to reflect the same attitude. Place doesn't teach right. Our worship service. I don't know. Okay. Too big. Other things. The elders don't have enough gospel campaigns. Why don't they have more gospel campaigns? Well, go to the elders and ask. But my point is, is that they start gathering people around them, and the people start reflecting the attitudes and the ideas and the influence of the man who wants some position of authority. Watch for disunity. Now, it's not hard to tell. It takes some discernment, but if you just read Galatians 5:2-3, and call out once in a while, take a look at what it says, you can see. All right, so there can be an ambition that isn't proper. Time will tell. Keep your eyes open, your ears. All right, so faithful saying, if a man desires the position, it's not the authority of a sense, not a position of rule. He wants a position in the church, and listen to what it says. He desires a good work. Now, talk a little bit about young people. Let's go over to, I'm sorry here. Go to chapter 4. Take a look at some things. All right. Verse 12 of chapter 4. Let no one despise your youth. Now, you say, well, that's talking to Timothy. Talking to all young men, not just Timothy or elders. You know something about the qualifications of an elder? Everybody's supposed to have them. Seriously. Those are things that should be reflected in the lives of all the people in fellowship. So it's just not an elite thing to work. This is something that should be in all of our lives. Patience. Love, not blowing our stack with other people, not putting them down. Not all right. Now, so let's look at, let no man despise your youth. All right, some of these guys were complaining. They were on our team. They were already taken up with some new things, and they weren't happy with some of the things going in assembly, including beginning this big row about music. And I said, you want them to listen to you. You want the elders to know what you're doing. Be an example. Here, in verse 12, in word. Now, this isn't just the word of God. This is word. How you talk. In your conduct. How you conduct yourself. Doesn't mean you're goody two-shoes and never show your humanity. In love. Be an example in love. in spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, of course, that is dealing with the church. Church should be doing these. But the man, this man, this young man, who would be easy to look down on because his ideas and what he says just don't jibe with what he is. Okay. It's important. So, but be an example. Now, these guys, it's interesting how much we talked. I talked with some of these guys because these guys were there because they were interested in doing something for the Lord. But some of them said, I couldn't be a missionary. I don't know on what basis. I could never. There's one guy from South Carolina who was in pre-med. He had the neatest Southern accent. And trying to hear him speak Spanish was interesting. He says, I never could do that. See, and he couldn't. He couldn't roll his arms, R's and stuff. But he was really interested. I have no idea if he ever became a doctor. But he was studying pre-med. So be an example. Okay. Till I come, verse 13, give attention to reading, exhortation. All right. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Now, in this case, it was Timothy. But you see, why are gifts given? Are gifts given so that I can build my own ministry. Yeah. And build a group of people who will support me abundantly. Is that what my gift is for? Each believer is given a gift. And we are in the body of Christ. And it says, fitly framed together. That's every joint supplies. We are learning in the local church not just to build for ourselves. And it's easy. But we're learning in the local church that when we're in unity and we're in harmony and we understand how God wants to use us in the body, this body becomes healthy and has the best chance of growing than anything. So, something about youth, all right. And I'm looking for one more verse here. I forgot to mark it, and most likely I'm not going to find it. Right. and I'll leave it. It's probably farther down in my notes. Verse 17 of chapter 5, let the elders who rule well become worthy of double honor. So I'm going to leave that, but you see young people. He talked about not a novice. Right? Don't lay hands on a novice, a young man, an amateur. Don't do it too soon. But don't wait forever either. So first thing is you desire. What do you desire to do? Are you reaching out for something? When you reach out to do something, doesn't mean you're going to necessarily get it. But if you stretch out, reach out to grasp that and take possession of it, God might be demonstrating certain things to you and the people around you. So these young men, it's desiring a good work. And the person shouldn't be a novice, an amateur. You need time to grow, to understand. But nevertheless, God is always working a lot. So it's a good work. He desires a good work. What's good to do for Jesus Christ? Go to the mission field? Great. Become a full-time worker and travel to conferences. Whoa! Great. But if you want to do a good work, focus also on the local church. God is planting these worldwide to stay and exist generation after generation after generation. The light. Some of the lights are flickering. I go to places where the lights are flickering for me for a lot of reasons. Not always necessarily negative, but the lights are flickering. And you figure they're going to go out. And it's important to understand it's a good work. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. I'd like to read that also. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, okay. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Right? They labor among you. And are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now, as you read these, you can see some of the responsibilities of the elders. One of the things the elders need to make sure you get a good feed from week to week. A balanced diet. See. And they admonish. Admonishment doesn't always have to give the idea that it's so harsh and negative, but it's admonishment. Brethren, let us not forget that blah, blah, we could do this, we can do it. It's admonishment. It's easy for all of us to become slack. All right. So, recognize those who labor among you. Those are men who are already serving, but they're to be recognized. It's a good work. It's a good work. Man is in business. He's working. And God lays on his heart. And the people are interested in making this man an elder. He is entering into an interesting work. Wow. Not easy. Tell you why. Because this man has to think more clearly about his time. He's got work, he's got his family, he's got sniveling and whining kids sometimes. Take me in, take me in. He's got to give time. Sometimes there are meetings and it conflicts with little Mary Lusky's going to her friend's house and you're the taxi driver. You have to do something. Time. Another thing is money. It may mean passing by some opportunity. One of the elders here before worked at a factory during the war. After the war, he was in welding. And they wanted to make him shop foreman. Nice position, a big raise. Second shift. Can't do that. Well, why? I can't do that. And he passed it by, and they never offered to him again. I suppose they understood. That's something else. That really works on your heart. So, there are other things besides his time. And he has to study. If a guy doesn't know some scriptures, if he doesn't know some doctrine, even if he doesn't go to official Bible class somewhere, he's got to study. He's got to know some things. He's got to have good experience with people. And he's got to know and do it. It's work. But it's also a work of caring for the body of Christ and helping people to grow. Somebody comes and they talk to you. Let's say they come and talk to you about some, and they're talking about some sin or temptation, and you really never experience that in depth. You've got to have enough compassion, enough understanding, not to put them down. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. See, people need compassion, love, and understanding. All right. I hope I'm not wrecking for you, dear Brother Joel. Holy mackerel, yeah. It's best you be back out camping, see? But I want to talk about this stuff. And it's on my mind And as I get older, as I said, it's becoming more and more important to me. What are the things I think are important? The health of the local church and leaders. Men who want to grasp and reach out. So, desires are good work. It's a good work. It can be difficult. It's full of risks. Risks? You may help somebody, and they didn't like what you say, and they start telling other people. I've had that happen. I bet you they have, too. Well, John said this. And three or four people think, John, I don't know what he's talking about. I remember going to the hospital once, right after I got off the plane from New Zealand. I'm talking within hours, and there's a little bit of jet lag between New Zealand and here. But boy, I better get to the hospital and see that person. So off I ran. I shouldn't have. I went in, I visited, but it wasn't the best pastoral visit I ever gave. A couple of days later, somebody told me they had gone to see him. One of the first things he said, John came, he doesn't know how to make hospital visits. What are you going to do? See. But it hurts. Well, what are you going to do? And two or three people mouth that. I don't know what else to say. But it wasn't one of my shining moments, I can tell you that much. I should have went home and gone home and gone to bed. All right, so if a young man, if a man desires this office, if a man is showing some desire, reaching out, if a man is showing that there are things in his life that can be built on, and you pay attention to that and see what can happen. And sometimes, even though the elders don't train, they can encourage him. Sit down, have coffee with him, and say, Chester, there's no Chester. The other night at the business meeting, you were a little miffed. That's okay. But didn't come across well, and I know you didn't mean that. Okay. It's one way elders can help. Elders can be involved in this without, quote, training. But they can be involved. So, I'll end this pretty quick. It's a difficult task. It's full of risk. Danger. By danger, people might talk to you and they have ulterior motives. Or somebody in a bad marriage might talk to you and it gives you caution. Keep arm's length. These are all part of ministry worldwide. The candidate, whatever you want to call him, needs to know how to handle his time difference, as I said. Let me ask you a few questions, young men. It's not wrong to desire this. But when you reach out, it shows. And when you reach out then, if God, the Holy Spirit, is in this, then you're beginning to look at other portions of Scripture. Paul said to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to your teacher. Be aware not only of what you're saying, but what you are. So, some little things I can throw out there. Here. Do you listen to people? I mean, do you really listen to what they're saying? Pick up things. Or do you just throw out a verse? Here's a verse. That'll take care of it. See? And it doesn't do much. Our hearts concern for the people around us. And so, I told these young men, now, by the way, I have absolutely no idea if any of them are elders. But one. And this young man came to visit us twice, two summers in a row. and was really into it. And Dick and I took him all over the place and baptized him with all kinds of experiences. And I couldn't be a missionary. I appreciate seeing you guys, but I couldn't ever be this. Be an elder if God leads you to do it. You hunger in your heart to be more. You want to be more. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that does this. And so, desires, good work, a noble, honorable work. Waste your life being an elder in a place. That's a noble, honorable work. That's what the Greek says. A noble, honorable thing to do. May God help us, because as generations go on, there's going to be need for more and more and more. When I came, some men were just passing away. But there were some fellows elders. Then, as this moved along and we brought in Fred, another one passed away. Now, Fred and I are the old codgers. Sorry, Fred. We're the old codgers. Keep moving. Moving. The Holy Spirit keeps the flow of it going. That God's church can be the place where the light shines and Christian unity is exemplified. Father, I thank you for simplicity of that verse. It's a faithful saying. It is a true, reliable, trustworthy saying. It never changes. The man aspires for and reaches out in his life to take a leading role in the assembly. He does desire a noble, a good work, an honorable work. And I pray that you'll keep working here at Wauwatosa. Thank you for all the years I've been here and how much of a blessing it is to see that we've moved on and on and on. And you've guarded us and kept us from things that could be destructive. And we pray for these men, their jobs, their work, their role as an elder, for Fred, for Ray, for Joel, for Jimmy, for our brother Dan. Bless them and use them, I pray in Jesus' name.